the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Happy year, everyone. We have returned for another volume of the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm your host, The Surfer, and I hope to entertain you for the year 2017 as we have discussions and go over news and reviews of comic books. We was off for the holiday, but now we're back. And hopefully, this show will get better in 2017 with your help. You know, one of the things I'm looking for is a co-host. So if you like talking comic books, you know, you can always contact me and we can see if it'll work out. And if not, you can, of course, always just call in and we can always have a discussion about comic books here on Rant EM Radio for 2017. Of course, you can call me on Skype. You just add the contact silversurfer_forever and I'll be glad to add you in and we can discuss whatever you want when it comes to comic books. Now, of course, there are plenty of ways you can listen to Rant EM Radio and the What Are You Reading comic book show. Of course, there's here on Rant EM Radio. There's also iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. I'm forgetting some of the ways, but, you know, TuneIn Radio. So, and, it's like that. I think we got a call already. Let me see. No, not yet, but soon. Anyway, moving on, let's go with some box office numbers. This is the first box office numbers for the year. But the movie that's number one is from last year, which is Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. After 4 weeks, it has brought in $21.9 million for its domestic total of $477 million. And of course, Rogue One worldwide is up to $914 million, so it's skating close to a billion. And I guess we can safely say that it looks like all these Star Wars movies will hit a billion or close to it. You know, it wasn't a surprise that The Force Awakens was so big. But people wasn't sure if Rogue One would also do big because, one, it's not a chapter story. It's not part of the chapters. And it's a standalone story. And it's a prequel in a way. And, you know, a lot of people don't like the original prequels. So that may have turned people off, but apparently they did not. And the only other movies to talk about in the top 10, new this week, is Underworld Blood Wars. It is the 80th Underworld movie. It's brought in $13 million. It has well underachieved. It has a budget of $35 million. So, yeah, this is probably going to be the last Underworld movie, unless it does a lot overseas. See, I put my foot in my mouth, because worldwide it has made $55 million. So the world will be keeping underwater alive. So they'd like to see vampires and werewolves fight it out. Why can't we all just get along? Moana, Disney animated feature, brought in $225 million for 8th place. Sing is in 3rd place at $19 million. I can't believe that after 3 weeks it's up to $213 million. A song about karaoke. Okay. There's no sound on the network. Let's see what's going on. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I'll fix this. I see what's going on. No, it should be some sound. So let me see what's going on. Why is no sound coming out?
Star Wars movies have hit a billion
or close to it. Yeah, there is sound. So let me send a message out to the person who sent me. Okay, that's done. All right, so any other box office news before I move on? Let's see. Assassin's Creed is in its 3rd week and has brought in $3 million for the video game that doesn't seem to, no one cares about. It's up to $49 million after 3 weeks, had a budget of $125 million. So another video game movie bust. Shame, but you know. As far as the year, 2016, Finding Dory was the top movie at $486 million domestic. Rogue One is up to $477 million, and that may surpass Dory in a week or two. Captain America came in 3rd place with $408 million. Secret Life of Pets came in 4th place, $368 million. Jungle Book, 5th place with $364 million. Deadpool, 6th place with $363 million. Zootopia came in 7th place with $341 million. Batman v Superman, $330 million. Suicide Squad, $325 million. Doctor Strange, $320 million, 10th place. So, what have we learned? The top 10 was all either animated or comic book related features. And the top 5 was all Disney movies. So, we all thought Disney was going to end up ruling the world, and now they have. So, bow down to the mouse. And so that's our box office report. And, you know, as normal, when there are relevant box office stories to go over, we will discuss them. Now, first story I want to go with: the Razzies have nominated their worst movies, and leading the pack is Batman v Superman. Now, I don't know if you care about the Razzies or if that's something that you follow, or you just think it's a joke, but apparently, you know, they want to, you know, one of the things they're trying to do, of course, is get attention, and I think that's the main reason why Batman v Superman got the most nominations, because it's far from the worst movie this year. So, but it is the biggest movie that was probably one of the bad movies of the year. So they're riding on the coattails of Batman v Superman. Now, the worst. These are the categories that Batman v Superman were nominated to: worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel; worst screenplay; no supporting actresses, no supporting actors. No, sorry, Jesse Eisenberg is worst supporting actor for Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Worst director, Zack Snyder. Worst actress, Margot Robbie for Suicide Squad and The Legend of Tarzan. Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Out of the Shadows. And let's see, anything else I'm missing? 50 Shades, no. The Legend of Tarzan was also worst prequel, sequel. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: Two Outer Shadows is worst remake or prequel. Independence Day was worst screenplay. Ghostbusters, worst screenplay. And Suicide Squad's worst screenplay. Sorry for messing up my words. Let's see. Worst actress, Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Marion Cotillard for Assassin's Creed. I told you about Margot Robbie. Worst actors, Ben Affleck for Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Now, I definitely disagree with that, because most people thought that he was the best part of that movie, playing Batman. But of course, they jumping on the bandwagon. Henry Cavill for Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Maybe a lot of people will agree with that. Liam Hemsworth for Independence Day. Will Smith for Suicide Squad. No, no. Worst picture, of course, Assassin's Creed. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Independence Day. And Suicide Squad made the nominations. And of course, the Razzies will be announced on January 23rd, a day before the Oscar nominations. Last year's winners was Josh Trank for Fantastic Four and Sam Taylor Johnson for 50 Shades of Grey. So, if the Razzies were so important, how come they're not on TV? I have to wonder that sometimes. Now, what is my next story? Over the break, we did lose an icon of actresses in Carrie Fisher. Of course, she had a massive heart attack at first, and the report was that she was in critical condition, and then they said she was in stable condition, and then we got word that she passed on. And of course, her mother passed on a day later. We have a couple other deaths that happened over the break. And one was the person that makes it all warm and toasty during the summertime. Heat miser died. Yeah, I know. This is why we're going to have such a cold winter this year, because heat miser passed away. Where are you, heat miser? So I can get your real name and give you your respect. George S. Irvin died. He was the voice of Heat Miser in The Year Without a Santa Claus. And just had a more recent passing, which I will tell you about. And Francine York, who played a Batman villain, she's dead at 80. She was... of course, we're talking about the 60s Batman show. And she played the sidekick to the villainous Bookworm, who was played by what's his name? Sorry. Yeah, she was Linda Limpet. She played the henchwoman to Roddy McDowell's Bookworm on two episodes of the 66 Batman show. It's funny how now it's referred to the 66 Batman, even though it played more than just 1966, but that's what it's referred to now, of course, in comic books and so on. So you can distinguish what's going on today to what went on back in the day. So, all you Constantine fans, I got some good news for you. Matt Ryan is returning to play Constantine. Now, he will not be live action. It will be animated, similar to the Vixen story series on CWC. So, CW has ordered up 5 to 6 minute 10 episodes, and that should be good, because that could bring us closer to Constantine being brought back as a live action show. I hope that's just a stepping stone, because most people that watched the live action Constantine that was on NBC enjoyed it after that first pilot one, and they got the right cast, and Matt Ryan was pretty good as Constantine, so he just seemed like he was the right fit for that role. And it'd be nice if we can get a live action show again. CW renews Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow. Why don't the CW just become the DCW, like my former co-host Jordan Cobb used to say, and get it over with? So that says the CW announced early renewals for DC Comics-based Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and DC's Legend of Tomorrow, as well as Supernatural, which I have too afraid to watch. And surprise, has been on TV as long as it has. Well, they can't hate on it, because people must like it if they're watching it. But for me, of course, I'm about to Flash and Arrow and Supergirl and the Legends Tomorrow. So that would put Arrow in the sixth season, Flash in his fourth season, Supergirl in his third season, and the Legends of Tomorrow in his third season. Now, if you ask me which of these shows I like the best so far, I like Legends, and then I like Flash, and then I like Supergirl, and then I like Arrow. The Arrow used to be a great show. Excuse me. But somehow they, you know, you can tell that the movie side has hampered the stories they can tell. And then they've gotten, one of the things that made Arrow watchable early on, that it wasn't the typical CW show. So you didn't get that CW drama. But season 3 and 4, they seem to stick that in somehow, with having the relationship between Oliver and Felicity, which was a big mistake, especially for Felicity as a character, because she went from independent and likable to damsel in distress and dependent and whiny. Now, they're trying to have her come back from that, but it may be too late. Who knows? But it just seems like more often than not at times, her voice just has that tinge of whine in it when she speaks from time to time. And it just ruined a great character that people loved, you know. The fanboys and the regular people just thought she was a great character for that TV show. But, you know, these shows seem to roll on. Now I got some good news and bad news, depends on how you want to take it. It says Marvel revises digital code program and adds bonus digital comics. Now, what was happening was when you bought a Marvel comic, you also got a code to get a digital copy of that same issue, which you could either use yourself or give to a friend. And a lot of people did give to friends, you know, because they had the book, they didn't need the code too. And most of the people like me who still buy the books is because it's hard for us to convert to that digital format, even though eventually we'll have to. But I haven't found the right reader that would allow me to read comic books in the way I like reading them now, which is full page. I don't want to read off a phone or anything like that, and my tablet is just not the same experience. So what they're going to do, instead of giving you codes for, you know, the book you already have, they're going to give you codes for other issues. Like, for example, it says here, buy select Marvel Comics at your local retailer, get free digital copies of these first issues in. So, looks like they're going to give you a copy of Civil War 2, number 1, Captain Marvel, and Old Man Logan, number 1. And let me make sure I'm telling you this right. So, beginning next month, all Marvel Universe titles, excluding all age comics brought in the comic book store, will include a digital code to unlock for 2 additional digital comics. One significant caveat is the code will not include a copy of the physical comic that was purchased. Marvel is continuing our commitment to offer fans the best value in comics, along with honoring our cornerstone of comic book industries and retailers. David Gabriel, Marvel Senior Vice President of Sales and Publishing, said that in a statement, our intent is evolving. Our digital code program is to offer our fans more value per dollar. I don't know if doing that or not. Replacing the free digital copy, our bonus digital copies will offer fans entry points into current on-sale collections and editions, and in turn invite additional and repeat traffic to our trusted retailers. So, let's see. February will give you Civil War 0 in time to promote Civil War 2 collection that's going to be on sale that month. Let's see. What else? Anything else? Okay. Anyway, so that's how they're going to do the digital codes now. Now, I've not used all my digital codes because the device I was using to put them on doesn't work for me anymore, so kind of stop. I see a couple people in the chat room. Stanley, little homie, you're free to call in if you want and talk to me, so I won't be so boring. Now, you know, with Civil War 2 being over, one of the things I discovered, of course, is that one of the people manipulating these this Civil War between heroes was good old Captain America. Captain America has a evil plan because his history has been written with the use of the Cosmic Cube and the plans of the Red Skull, so that Captain America is a secret Hydra agent. And apparently, behind the scenes, he's been making things worse for everyone. And of course, nobody would suspect Captain America because he's Captain America. He's the one everybody looks up to. So therefore, how could he be a bad person? Well, Marvel has put out a teaser for Captain America-centric Secret Empire for 2017. Says Marvel has released an interesting new teaser that seems to put Captain America front and center. The image, which touts the word Secret Empire in the year 2017, seems to point to a story of some kind that builds on the recent event of Nick Spencer's and Jesus Sayers, Captain America Steve Rogers' ongoing series. Of course, the series has caught significant attention over the past year for its major reveal that Rogers is in fact a Hydra agent. How exactly that factors in the Secret Empire, we up in the air at this time. So Cap is taking over. And I know one of the things he's doing is he's going to try to undermine Sam Wilson as Captain America and a few other heroes as I guess leading up to the Secret Empire. And the logo has the shield Captain America carrying around, which isn't his round shield, but one of those regular pointy shields that he's been using since he's gotten his youth back and became Captain America again. Here we go. Now, anybody who's waiting on America Gods, well, if you want to see a preview of it, you can always go to South by Southwest, because that's going to host the world premiere of American Gods. Says the lineup for South by Southwest annual film festival has been revealed, and among the high-profile names in indie narratives experiments is confirmed that Starz adaptation of Neil Gaiman's American God will premiere during the festival's episode media block. Dates and time for the screenings are yet to be announced. So, South by Southwest is in March, and I believe American Gods is supposed to debut in the summer, or maybe late spring. And that's, I believe that's, what is that, Neil Gaiman came up with the concept. Let's see, doesn't say after, you know, I don't. Anyway. So, if you go to South by Southwest, please call in and give me a report on that particular series and what you like it, what I should waste my time watching it. We are a few weeks away from the premiere of Powerless on NBC, starring Vanessa Hutchinson, where it's set in a world where the superheroes exist and their job is to come up with ways of keeping people safe from the damage superheroes inflict on the public as they're keeping people safe. James Gunn, who of course is the director of the Guardian series, says he has a great idea for a Moon Knight movie, and Marvel knows. Now that would be interesting if we can get Moon Knight on the big screen, but I wouldn't mind him being on the small screen, because we know that the Netflix model works for these street level heroes. And I think if you did a Netflix series for Moon Knight, it would give you the chance to distinguish the fact that he's not just a Batman ripoff, but that he has things about him that makes him different from Batman. Now, that was always the charge when he first was created in the 70s, that he was nothing more than a Batman ripoff. But if you actually read Moon Knight stories, he is not going through the same troubles that Batman go through. So I would be interested in seeing Moon Knight one way or another. Are you Archer fans? If you tune in for FX to watch Archer, and it does, and he's not there, do not worry, because Archer is moving to FXX for season 8 and beyond. Says Chuck Slater, president of programming and strategies for CEO Fox Networks, announced today that the hit animated comedy series Archer is headed to FXX for its upcoming 8th season, which kicks off in the spring. The series, which already has been renewed for 2 additional series as well, recently received an Emmy for Outstanding Animated Programming. So, I'm not surprised it's moving to FX because Fox doesn't want that kind of stuff on their regular channel, which is the reason. And they want FXX to be successful, and they need people to tune into that. And they know that Archer would be the one to get eyeballs to tune into that network so they can make it work. And I don't know what the ratings is for that network. I don't know, you know, it just seems like they show the same things on Fox as they do. They're both showing the same things, so I can't figure out what's the point of having a second network if they're showing the same things. But putting stuff that's only on one network over the other should help. Getting back to Carrie Fisher, because she did pass away, Disney is set to receive $50 million. Now, when they decided to do these Star Wars movies, they put out a insurance policy on Carrie Fisher just in case she couldn't do three movies, and it turns out she won't be doing three movies, even though she did finish filming all of her scenes for episode 8. Now, having done that, I hope they don't have to do no reshoots, because then they're going to be in trouble. But, yeah, Disney, who don't need the money, is going to get more money after all. It says here, the company which owns Lucasfilms and Star Wars franchise is set to receive $50 million. And it comes to £41 million following Fisher's death after they took out an insurance company with Lloyd's of London in case Carrie Fisher was unable to fulfill her three-film contract, according to the website Insurance Insider. Understanding that given just a few days have passed since the death, there is no indication as to whether Leia will be still featured in the new trilogy final film, although some people have speculated that the CGI recreation may be used. In the prequel, Rogue One, yeah, but they just made her look younger. That don't mean they're going to have, just because they did it with Grand Moff Tarkin doesn't mean they're going to do it with Leia. It would just be best if they came up with a reason why she's not in that last movie. Plus, we all thought that the point of the last movie was that we could transfer the franchise to new younger actors and phase out the older ones. And spoiler, of course, Han is dead. Luke only got like a minute on screen, so he'll get more time this time around, but that doesn't mean he'll survive the chapter 8. And then I don't know if Leia needs to be around for chapter 9, so. But we'll see what Disney and Star Wars do. Now, last night was the beginning of Dragon Ball Super here in America. It was on Toonami. They had an 8 o'clock and an 11:30 p.m. showing. It's been a year and a half since Dragon Ball Super returned in Japan and some of the rest of the world. And now finally it's here on Toonami with, of course, an English subtrack. Now, the interesting things about it, they kept the Japanese intro and the Japanese ending, but they cut them short, especially the Japanese intro. And they kept the original music from the Japanese version of Dragon Ball, which is unusual because usually they play their own musical soundtrack. But this time it's all the sounds you hear, and if you watch Dragon Ball Super online with the dub version, which is now legal to watch on Crunchyroll. And that comes out every Saturday night, about an hour and a half after The Japanese version airs live in Japan, which is Sunday morning in Japan. So, and one of the things, of course, people who have been watching the Japanese version of Dragon Ball Super is excited about is the upcoming arc in February, the Universal Survival Tournament. Now, we discovered that in Dragon Ball Super, of course, you have what they call Kaioshin, which is kind of like gods of creation, but there's also a god of destruction, and in this universe, his name is Beerus the Destroyer, and of course, Goku fought him, and somehow, when you fight Goku, if he doesn't kill you, then you become his friend. So Goku has been becoming, him and Vegeta has been becoming stronger. They've gotten strong enough to have godlike powers. And then we find out that there's more than one universe. There are 12 universes, and they're in sets of twos. So the universe that Goku and friends live in is Universe 7, and there's a Universe 6 that's supposed to be an identical universe, and it's ruled by a god of destruction that's the twin brother to Universe 7 god of destruction's brother. And he's always trying to outsmart his brother, this god of destruction of Universe 6. His name is Ciampa. And he came up with the idea of having a tournament of the best fighters from both universes. And, of course, that made Goku and Vegeta excited. And Universe 7 won the tournament. But one of the things that happened was, since these gods of destruction was at this tournament, they weren't doing their jobs. And it turns out that all 12 universes is ruled by one being called the Omni King, the one above all. And he shows up and he's like, you know, I have a concern because you weren't doing your jobs. But I got here and I kind of like what I saw with the tournament. So I want to have a tournament with all 12 universe fighters. And of course, okay, it seems harmless. But now we find out that when this tournament starts, if you lose, your universe gets wiped out. So that makes the stakes even higher, because if it comes down to, you know, just one universe winning, then there's only going to be one universe left, and you want to make sure it's your universe. Now, you might not want to see other universes destroyed, but you don't want to see your universe get destroyed, because that means you are destroyed. So that's going to be the upcoming arc here on Dragon Ball Super, starting in February. It's got a lot of people excited, because we're going to get to meet new gods of destruction, plus new fighters. And on top of that, it's probably going to be a nice long arc, longer than the last arc, it was the Future Trunks arc. So, let's see if we got a couple more stories tomorrow. Yeah, Legends tomorrow will meet a young George Lucas. So, of course, Legends tomorrow, they travel through time and they do meet historical figures from time to time. And I guess they're going to meet George Lucas and they're going to give him the idea for Star Wars. I guarantee it. And I don't think there's much to say. There was a lot of other news stories that happened, I could say, while we were away. Like, let's see. No, I think we covered all that before we went off the air last year. So, if anybody want to call in real quick, you can. You can join me on Skype at SilverSurfer_Forever. I picked up some good books this week. And the two best books I read was Thor, which I was a week behind picking up. And that, because Thor's force of female, they starting to give her female adversaries to fight. And there's now a new female curse for her to take on. If you remember Kurtz from Thor: The Dark World, he was the one dark elf who took this stone and transformed to this abominational creature. Well, apparently, there's a way you can remove the curse powers and give it to someone else, which Malekith, the mad, did. And he gave it to this female dark elf, and so now she doesn't have a choice but to fight our female Thor. And this is all leading up to the next arc, which is the Asgard Shi'ar War. This is probably going to be very interesting. I've seen the previews online where Heimdall is confronted by what is this guy's name? Just give me a second. I can't think of his name, but he's like a Superman type character with the Shi'ar. And it's interesting because he's a Superman type, he usually doesn't lose many fights. But the thing about Heimdall, his job is to guard the Golden Bridge, and no one gets past him. So this is a immovable object against an irresistible force. And we're going to see which one loses in this particular fight. They didn't show who lost, and they just showed the beginning of the fight. So that's got me excited. And I also picked up the Unworthy Thor, which is him trying to claim a new hammer. And he's being held prisoner by the Collector, because the Collector thinks that he can use Thor to help him pick up this new hammer that apparently when everybody tries to pick it up and they're not worthy, they get zapped and they die. But Thanos wants this hammer too, so the stakes just went up, because his Black Order has come out to get the hammer. And it was supposed to be an ongoing series, but now just made into a miniseries, a 5-issue miniseries. And so with that, I don't think we have anything else to discuss. And I'm not going to stay on the air just to fill time. So I tell you what, since nobody wants to call in this week, I'm going to tell you about the programming here on Rant EM Radio. And we have a new lineup. So get your pens and paper so you can write this down. Let's see. And let me get this info for you. So, here is the new lineup here on Rant EM Radio. And we also got a new logo. So, if you like new logos, it's pretty nice. It was designed by Rage and cleaned up by Double A himself to look more professional. You have to give Rage some credit. He came up with a design. He did try. And the boss thought, well, he's not the boss of me, but he thought it was good enough that he took the design and cleaned it up some. So, where's the... See, I haven't remembered the lineup, so I'm looking for it now. And then I can let you good folks know. No, this is not it. Okay. Almost there. How have you been, Stanley? I haven't seen last since haven't talked to you last year, little homie. I'm glad little homie, you asking why they took out the thing for $50 million? Well, because without her in the ninth movie, you never know if you know, they may have already had plans for the 9th movie with her in it, and now they have to do rewrites. And who knows, maybe people won't come out because she's no longer in the movies. You never know. So, but it's standard that people do that, you know, take out insurance policies. You know, studios do that all the time. You don't know about it, but that's what they do because they care about their bottom line. Let's see. No, where's it at? All right, well, I'm going to try to remember this by memory, and I will have it memorized by next week. We have a new show here on Rant In Radio, which started last Tuesday at 7, and will be on every Tuesday at 7, The Shining Wizards. Glad to have them on board. And then at 9 p.m. will be The Rant, as always. Instead of the normal 8 o'clock, he's moved to 9 p.m. But still the same rant with Double A and Tony C. Thursdays, you get a double team up of Thumbstick Ninjas, followed by Rant and Wrestling. Friday, of course, is Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and I think they're moving soon. I'm not sure. Saturdays, for the time being, is a Wrestling Call-In Show at 11 p.m. And I'll be here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, unless you people don't love me anymore. And then I'll be fired off the air, and I'll go away, and you'll never hear from me again. And you don't want that. And you can prevent that by calling in. That's all I asked for you guys to do. Call in. Talk to me. I need friends. Talk to me. That's it. I just want to talk to people about comic books. And that's all I want to do in my older years as I fade out into the sun and turn into dust. Let's talk comic books with you. That's all. So, you know, football season almost over, and you won't have that excuse anymore. So, you know, just call me. I'm here. I'll take your call. But I thank you for listening, and thank you for listening on the download. And we hope that this show will improve over the next year or so. So, as always, I always end my show by wishing you well and saying goodbye until next week. Until then, peace.